You already know this is Joe Chick, Sweet Chick Music, and this is the intro to the Marvel Fantasy Podcast, baby.
Yeah. Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Wow. Week five was something else. So many storylines to go through, but welcome into the show. Cliff here, Mr. Fahrenheit. We'll have some fun with that later on if you've checked out the scores lately. But before we start and get into the matchups, studs and duds, and matchup of the week, of course, we're going to talk about a few storylines, and obviously, you know, your boys got to start with the New York Football Jets. Fun win, stressful win. I was talking to my dad, watching the game with him and my son. Nice family affair yesterday. We were just trying to think of the last time the Jets won like a blowout game where we could just sit back and enjoy a win, and this was one of the most stressful wins. If you didn't watch the game, don't let the score fool you. It was very close. In fact, the Broncos had a chance to not only go down and tie the game with a field goal, if they scored a touchdown on that drive, they were going to win the game. Instead, Russell Wilson fumbles the ball, strip sack, and just, you know, Jets score a defensive touchdown, just so clutch for them. They needed that. Zach didn't have the best day, Zach Wilson, but he was 6-for-9 on third down. So anybody that just looked at the box score, the stats don't always show it. He didn't throw for any touchdowns. He had 199 yards passing, but Breece was getting them closer and closer to where it was kind of third and short. And Zach was converting on third down. So props to him. He's game managing right now, and that's all we need him to do. Next storyline, I mean, how could I talk about the Jets without talking about the Patriots, right? Just two back-to-back dreadful weeks for the Patriots, and this pertains to fantasy too, because Ramondre Stevenson, Hunter Henry goosed this week, and he was supposed to be just a safe top option for Mac Jones, but not looking good for the New England Patriots. Turns out Belichick without a Hall of Fame quarterback is just a guy, and I don't know how else to describe it, because yeah, okay, you want to say he's a defensive coach. Well, his defense doesn't look great. It's the score, if you want to combine the last two games, 72-3. So, maybe Matt Patricia last year wasn't the problem as the offensive coordinator. And again, you just have to kind of look in the mirror, Bill Belichick, because he's also the general manager, and he's signing guys like Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster, who are just guys. Like, yeah, okay, you got a good deal on them, but they're not playmakers. They're literally just guys. If they can even catch the ball, they get tackled immediately. Meanwhile, you have teams like the Bengals going out on a limb, getting guys like Ja'Marr Chase, and even the Ravens getting a playmaker like Zay Flowers. When he catches the ball, they call him the human joystick. You can't get him down first tackle. So, I don't know, Patriots just look like one of the most mediocre, I guess sub-mediocre teams now. And Bill Belichick, still the greatest coach of all time, because when you have a Tom Brady, you still need to know what to do with him. So he still gets the nod. I mean, he's still the greatest coach, greatest schemer of all time. But this goes back to the argument. Are there any Hall of Fame head coaches that didn't have elite or Hall of Fame quarterbacks? It's a marriage that is a must in the NFL. So, you know, look at Mike Tomlin right now. I mean, he's going to win a couple games. And I think the Steelers are in first place right now in that division. But, in their win against the Ravens. But I don't see them as a Super Bowl contending team. So if you want to live in the land of mediocrity, the Steelers are a team for you. They don't have that elite quarterback or Hall of Fame quarterback. So Tomlin is a good head coach, and Bill Belichick, good head coach. But when they don't have a Ben Roethlisberger or a Tom Brady, they're just, I don't know, they're just not scary. But right now, the Steelers are winning on defense. I think that's why they're winning more games than Belichick. Belichick lost Judon, Christian Gonzalez, so he just doesn't have any playmakers anymore. So that's kind of the storyline with the Patriots. But love to see it. Love to see it. I just, I'm not a hater. It's just I've had to deal with a lot of Jets hate the last 20 years and how Belichick is a genius and he's just looking rough right now. So sorry for you Patriot fans out there. Better days ahead, maybe. It'll suck when you guys get an awesome quarterback in the draft this year if he can figure out how to draft quarterbacks. Other storylines, we're checking on Justin Jefferson, hamstring injury. We'll see how long he's going to be out. Checking out other injuries like Saquon Barkley still out with that high ankle sprain. Anthony Richardson goes out with a shoulder. Looks like he's a candidate to go on IR, a four-week absence. It's not a clavicle, so that's good, but could be, I think they said AC joint, so he's going to be out a while with that running style. Quarterback, that's two games now where he's exited early, so anybody starting Anthony Richardson, I believe Greg has him. He's not getting complete games for Richardson right now, so we'll see moving forward if he's going to be a viable fantasy option. Good to see. Welcome back, Cooper Kupp. Jonathan Taylor, obviously they had two very different games. Cooper Kupp right back to that top end, top five wide receiver in fantasy football. Meanwhile, Jonathan Taylor technically back on the field, but Zach Moss says, hold up, it's my job for now, buddy. So Zach Moss goes off against a stout Titans defense. So that's a little interesting there. Jonathan Taylor gets what he wants, a three-year contract, comes right back to the team, and looks like they're going to ease him in and they're not going to just let Zach Moss go away. He's performing right now. So I'm not saying it's going to be a full committee, but you still got to give Zach Moss touches while he's hot right now. So obviously, welcome back the Bengals. So, you know, we'll go over more studs and duds. But Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow look like they're back. So, yeah, a lot of storylines at the end of week five. Can't wait to get to the studs, duds, and matchup of the week. So let's get into it right now without any further ado, your matchup of the week. So before we get to the matchup of the week, I want to tell you that I changed my mind on the matchup of the week, and here's why. So last night I dozed off, fell asleep just after halftime, had a couple leagues where I had my opponents had players and they had taken care of business against me already, so I'm like, I'm out. I can skip a Packers and Raiders game, at least the second half of it. But I woke up to a long text message from a league mate. This league mate was Tom. I saw he had sent the message like after 11:30 at night. So these thoughts were definitely on his mind. And it was like a blurb about our league, like the status of our league for this week. Very well written and thought out. Definitely, I could tell he was thinking about some of this stuff. And mind you, I get up early for work, and it just felt like I was reading the newspaper when I rolled over this morning to check this text message out. And it's all about our league. It's like, extra, extra, read all about it. The Marvel League is here. Like, just like very well, thought out. And it made me change my mind on this matchup of the week. So, without any further ado, who's it gonna be? What? Chicken tendies, taking on the teddy bears. We begin in Atlanta. The teddy bears, 115 to the chicken tendies, 110. This was an undefeated 4-0 versus 4-0, and it went deep into the Monday Night Football slate. I'll fill you in on exactly the situation that we had last night. Josh had Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon. We'll talk about the Aaron Jones situation later, but that really helped Josh because he had A.J. Dillon. Teddy Bears had a sizable lead, plus Jacoby Myers. So it was 2-1 with a small lead for Maddie. But Jacoby Myers with the walk-off win for the Teddy Bears. 17 fantasy points last night. 7-75 and a touchdown. Man, Jacoby looks like a new player with the Raiders. They're using him in ways that the Patriots didn't. Scoring touchdowns. Remember, like, a couple years ago, it was like a
it was like a, not a meme, but it was like, can we get this guy a touchdown? I think he holds the record for like most receptions without a touchdown. That was like 2-3 years ago now. So definitely coming into his own as a player, and he's going to be your stud this week. 17 fantasy points in the walk-off on Monday Night Football. Not too shabby. As far as your dud goes, I'm actually giving your dud to your bench. Justin Fields. And it's the lack of starting these players. Justin Fields, 32 fantasy points on your bench. It looks like you kind of lost faith in him, as well as Dallas Goedert, 21 fantasy points on your bench. So we'll see moving forward if Maddie goes ahead and throws those boys right back in his lineup, or if he needs to see it again. But as far as your dud goes, it's going to be the decision to bench those guys. I mean, Dallas Goedert, I totally get. He wasn't doing much through 4 weeks, but still a top option for the Eagles. Moving on, chicken tendies, 110. Not bad at all in a week where you don't have Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, or DK Metcalf. Mr. Fahrenheit dreams of 110 points here, so not bad at all. How about Devon Achane? This is an easy stud, 151 yards and a touchdown on 11 carries. He did have a fumble, and we're going to be checking out the status of his injury. He's got a knee, you know, so it doesn't look like it's going to be a super lengthy absence if he's going to miss time at all. I'm hearing 0 to 3 weeks, but we need to wait for news to come out on that situation. But Devon Achane, man, just absolute stud. I don't know if he can keep it up. Kind of looks like he can to me. As far as your dud goes, not going to give it to Kincaid, injured player. Usually don't do that. But yeah, Chris Olave, I know he scored 8 fantasy points. Didn't really crush you, but 2 for 12. He really got all his points from the touchdown. In a game where the Saints score 34 points on the Patriots, and Chris Olave pretty much uninvolved. Now, there was a story that he tweaked his ankle in pregame warm-ups, so I don't know if that had something to do with it, but as far as I know, he played his full amount of snaps, and it's very possible he just wasn't needed after that lead became sizable, and the Patriots weren't doing much to scare the Saints in throwing him back out on the field. So, nonetheless, chicken tendies moves to 4-1 on the season. Very respectable to start your 2023 campaign. And the Teddy Bears, with 115 points, welcome back Cooper Kupp, 5-0. Someone said in the chat the other day, who invited this guy? Looking like a stud fantasy manager thus far. Congratulations, guys. Great matchup. Oh, brother, let's get to the next matchup. Mr. Fahrenheit the Fourth, myself, taking on Sweet Chick Music. And by God, he's got a family. Don't you do this to him. Sweet Chick Music, 163-87. Oh, my goodness. And it happened mostly in the later games. Joe Chick and I were texting back and forth during the 1 p.m. games. It was actually closer than we thought. You know, Kamara was having a good game. Laporta went off for my team. But let's not make it about me. Let's make it about Sweet Chick Music. Puts up 163. And we saw the power rankings from Fantasy Pros, and we were kind of scratching our head. I mean, I knew what Joe Chick's team was capable of doing, but they had him number one as the number one rated team in the league. And look, he puts up 163. So I think we should believe the simulation. Fantasy Pros was on top of this one. So let's take a look at his studs. You know, I know he's very happy about George Kittle. Last night, how efficient is this? 3 catches, 3 touchdowns, 67 yards. Good for 26 fantasy points. So that's going to be really good for our side bet, which was George Kittle versus Waller. Total fantasy points this season. That's a huge boost on that front. But your official stud, welcome back to the party, Ja'Marr Chase. And Joe Burrow, if you'd like. But Ja'Marr Chase, 44 fantasy points. 15 for 192 and 3 touchdowns. Last week in a post-game press conference, Ja'Marr Chase says, I'm always effing open. Excuse my profanity. I'm always open. And it turns out he is just an unbelievable performance by Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So I know he's feeling much better about that draft pick. And it looks like, I mean, I heard a report that Joe Burrow is nowhere near 100%. That's what the report said on Sunday morning. So I'm thinking, oh man, if they go in and lose to the Cardinals in Arizona, what's this mean for the Bengals offense and all their fantasy options? But I don't know. Joe Burrow looks much better than he has all year round. All year. And Ja'Marr Chase was the benefactor here. And obviously T. Higgins was a DNP. So yeah, moving forward, Ja'Marr Chase back to being probably a top three option. We have to monitor Justin Jefferson's injury. We'll talk about that. But yeah, looking great. So 163 points. Moving on to my team. I mean, what can I say? Much better output this week as far as touchdowns go. I know I was struggling in that department. I put up five total touchdowns, but you can't compete with anybody who's going to get 10 touchdowns. So Joe Chick puts up 10 touchdowns on the week. I put up five. I thought I made decent start sits, but guys like Tony Pollard, who's going to be my dud this week, 29 yards rushing and a fumble. Just nothing I can do. I'm putting my team out there. I think I have talent on this squad. They can't all put it together at once. I'm telling you, I'm due for a boom game. I just don't know if I'm going to get it. It's always something, you know, like Garrett Wilson yesterday, the Jets win, score 31 points in Denver, and Garrett Wilson, 3 receptions for 54 yards. Doesn't feel good. Those are just some of my duds. As far as my stud goes, I'll go Sam Laporta. Keeps getting it done. He's, still a top tier tight end. And I finally made the move, benched Waller, started Laporta for the first time this year. And it helped. 3 catches, 47 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So a George Kittle-esque type game from him. Very efficient. And he's been getting targets way downfield. They have a nice designed play for him where he, I don't know if it's a pick play or what, but this is the second or third time this season that they've run it, and he's just wide open on the sideline and simple pitch and catch for a touchdown. And it's, you know, you get that yardage with it too. We're talking 30, 35 yards plus the touchdown. That's the third time I've seen the Lions run this, and teams are just not ready for it. So he's the lone bright spot on my team right now. Again, this was my concern going into the season. My team is very young. I thought they had a lot of upside where I could get some of these boom games, but right now nobody's giving me boom games. I'm going to start the season 0-5. I have a hole to dig. The hole was already dug. I got to dig out of it. And Joe Chick, congratulations, moved to 2-3 on the season. But I think he almost gets like an extra half win because of how many points he scored. That's going to come into factor later in the playoff picture as far as points scored. So it's almost like he got a win and a half versus me this week. Congrats, man. All right, our next matchup is going to be Ball Too Well, Taylor's version, taking on Yeter Skeeters, Jason. And Taylor takes the win 126-79, a convincing win again for Taylor. Let's take a look at her squad. Josh Allen in London. Not very fair for the Buffalo Bills, by the way. They take the loss against the Jaguars. They have to travel to London for a Buffalo Bills home game. That's what it was considered, a home game for the Bills in London, where the Jaguars got to stay there all week since they had a game there last week. I think that's one of the worst home field advantages ever. So the odds were a bit stacked against the Buffalo Bills. They were put in a tough spot and they take the loss. Josh Allen looked a little rusty to start the game, but in the end put up phenomenal fantasy production, 359 yards through the air, 3 total touchdowns, 27 fantasy points, and 1 Stefon Diggs meltdown. He has like 1 per game now through his helmet. I don't know if he's yelling at Josh Allen or just in general, but he seems to be very, very upset in any loss that the Buffalo Bills have. Christian McCaffrey, 12 fantasy points on a bad day, to be honest. 51 yards and a touchdown, including a fumble at the 1 yard line. So definitely some missing points for Christian McCaffrey. That could have, that's an 8 point swing basically when you fumble at the 1 yard line instead of getting a touchdown. You end up losing 2 points. So definitely could have been a better day for Christian McCaffrey. But even in his worst day, you know, for fantasy, 12 fantasy points, it's insane. Other bad days, you know, as we've been going through in the dud section, it looks a bit different for everyone else not named Christian McCaffrey. Moving over to Jason's team, as far as his stud, I'll go David Montgomery. Another solid game for him, 19.9 fantasy points. We'll call it 20 fantasy points in the absence of Jahmyr Gibbs. 109 yards and a touchdown. He added 2 receptions for 20 yards. So just a solid game. I know it wasn't 3 touchdowns from the week before, but this is turning out to be one of the best fantasy draft picks, you know, this year, where Jason drafted him, and definitely helping at least get him some points. We'll talk about his record in a second, but scoring points right now for Jason is going to be the most important thing moving forward. As far as your dud goes, now, you started guys like Tutu Atwell, Tyler Boyd, Calvin Austin. Those are guys I could give the duds to. They didn't have particularly great games, but you know, when you're starting guys like that because of bye weeks, I don't know how much, you know, you're really depending on those guys. So it's hard to give them the dud. I'm going to give my dud to the first time, for the first time ever, to an injured player and maybe to his team. It's going to Aaron Jones. Now, I know he played last night, Monday Night Football. He would have had to score you 50 points to get you the win. So it's not about kind of the matchup with you and Taylor. It's about the player. Now, go back to week one where Aaron Jones went off. He was having an epic game. He ran in his second touchdown reception of that day, and he pulls up, hurts his hamstring. We didn't see Aaron Jones the rest of the game. After the game, quote, "I could have went back in if they needed me to." So I'm like, all right, Aaron Jones. It looks like he's going to be okay. Just precaution. You know, Packers were winning, blah, blah, blah. So what happens? He misses the next 2 games for the hamstring injury. So first of all, the lesson here is never trust a player when they're talking about their health. We need doctors to look at you, young fella. So here's what happens that next. They put him back in. He's active last week. Welcome back, Aaron Jones, right? Well, he didn't look great. He sure didn't look 100% to me. So I don't know, maybe they rushed him back or maybe it was just a bad game, but nonetheless, he played. And I didn't hear anything about a setback for Aaron Jones. So now you fast forward to last week during practice, limited session. Everything was trending in the right direction for him to continue playing. Why wouldn't he play since he played the week before and there was no setback, right? So now, you know, you're in a tough spot. It's Monday Night Football. You have to make a decision and start the rest of your team and all your players. And you're expecting Aaron Jones. Nothing in the reports said, we fear Aaron Jones could miss this week. Nothing like that. And I follow injury reports like crazy. And maybe you can tell that I'm an Aaron Jones owner in another league. But this is annoying. Fast forward to last night, like right around dinner time. Aaron Jones, unlikely to play. What? Congratulations, Packers. Is that the competitive edge you were looking for? That the Raiders had to game plan and scheme against Aaron Jones all week in practice, and now they don't have to play him? I mean, what kind of edge is that? Now all you have to do is stop A.J. Dillon? Say no more. Easy peasy on that one. So anyway, so my first dud going to an injured player and his team is going to be Aaron Jones. Stop lying to us. If you pull your hamstring, let us know you're going to miss a couple weeks, you know? But nonetheless, Jason, only 79 points here, starting the year at 0-5. Welcome to the club, brother-in-law, Ian Taylor, with the 126 points here, a top scoring team in the league this week, moves to 4-1. To start her 2023 campaign. She's going for that title, folks. Let's keep an eye on her team. She's a big dog in this league. Congrats. Our next matchup, the one I considered for matchup of the week, was Dixienormous Gage taking on Pillar of Fire Tom, and Tom takes the win 117 to 112. Both were close matchups. You know, obviously last night with the absence of Aaron Jones, it kind of gave Josh more of a chance to come back against Maddie. So I think it was a good move to switch to that one for matchup of the week, because it truly was a 50-50 matchup in my opinion. But taking a look at Tom's team, 117 points here, not too shabby. And it was all on the back of DJ Moore. Thursday night, it's nice to start your week with 45 fantasy points, 8 for 233. You could tell from the start of that game, I think his first catch was just like a 40-yarder. Second catch was like a 30-yarder. And at that point, it was like they don't have a game plan to stop DJ Moore. And Tom benefited from that. 45 fantasy points is a beautiful number. As far as his duds go, it's the whole running back room here. Ramondre Stevenson, who I wanted to have the dud for him last week, 2 fantasy points. Miles Sanders, 1 fantasy point. Is Miles Sanders healthy? I don't know. He's losing work to Chuba Hubbard lately. They paid him a lot of money to be their, you know, their all-star running back in the backfield there. And I don't know, him and Ramondre, not looking great. His running back room gets him a total of 3.6 fantasy points on the week. So thank goodness for DJ Moore. Gets him the win, because otherwise Tom might be in trouble here with his running backs. He doesn't have many other options. I know I was looking to trade with him. I had at one point, I had 4 stud running backs and he had a bunch of receivers here. And I don't know, who knows, maybe there's still a deal out there for us. But looking at his bench, I mean, it's Zach Charbonnet, who hasn't proven himself as a rookie yet. So he's going to have to keep moving forward with Ramondre and Sanders as his starting running backs. But nonetheless, for his purposes, he does not care. He gets the win. Dixienormous Gage, in a losing effort, 112 points this week is a great number when compared to some of these other matchups that I've seen and gone over. Your stud, how about welcome back Breece Hall? So the first week back after Robert Saleh lifts the snap count on him, the pitch count, I should say, on Breece Hall, 177 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He did throw in 3 receptions for 17 yards. Just an unbelievable performance. He's the one who got the Jets the win. He did the same exact thing last year in Denver. And that's also where he tore his knee up, his ACL last year in Denver. So a nice coming out party for Breece Hall. I think he's going to be a stud moving forward. I was telling my friends, you know, a couple people hit me up like, hey, you know, you watch a lot of Jet stuff. What's the word on Breece Hall? I said, hey, if you have Breece Hall in leagues or you want to trade for Breece Hall, treat him like he's Saquon Barkley. It's probably even a better situation than Saquon Barkley, if you ask me. Offensive line stinks, but I think our defense is better. Breece should have more neutral game scripts, and both are talented running backs. But I said, I like Breece. I know he's had a down year, but treat him like he's Saquon Barkley. And I think people kind of understood the gist of that, that he's a stud moving forward. It was that pitch count that was holding him back with the New York Jets. He only needs a couple carries. Him and Devon Achane are proving to be so efficient. It's unbelievable. As far as your dud goes, a couple different options here. You know, nobody crushed you this week. I don't know what you expect from Tyler Higbee from that tight end position. 2 receptions for 20 yards, 3 fantasy points, and I think it had a lot to do with Cooper Kupp coming back. So he's, you know, I don't know how many safety valves Matt Stafford needs when you have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Those are going to be the safety valves. I think Tyler Higbee is going to be the odd man out. You know, since it is the tight end position, you can still fire him up any given week. But the days of him getting, you know, 7 receptions for 54 yards, you know, trying to pick up first downs is probably over unless someone gets hurt. If I'm looking downfield and need a clutch play, I'm throwing to Puka, I'm throwing to Cooper Kupp. So, and Kupp looked phenomenal. He looks exactly the way he did last year. So, yeah, odd man out could be Tyler Higbee in that offense. So, nonetheless, Dixie Normus, 3-2, very respectable. Even in a loss, again, putting up points in this league does matter. So, although you take the loss, scoring 112 never hurts you. And Pillar of Fire, that's three in a row. Don't call it a comeback. 117 points here as well. So, Tom moves to 3-2 on the season. Great matchup, boys. Our next matchup is an easy one because it was disgusting. Robert Saleh's Hater Society. This is Greg taking on the Zen Crusaders Roach, 62-58. The fact that Greg gets a win for this is maybe because I'm 0-5 and I haven't been able to face anyone that doesn't score triple digits this year. This makes me sick. Nonetheless, he gets the win. No studs, though. I'm not going to do the thing where I just pick the player that scored the most points. You're not happy with Bijan Robinson scoring you 10 fantasy points. He had a fumble. I know he had a touchdown reception, but 10 fantasy points from your number one pick is not a stud performance. Duds all over the place. We understand that Anthony Richardson got hurt. That's why he had 4 fantasy points. But, I mean, Devonta Smith, 1 fantasy point. CeeDee Lamb, 6. Even Hockenson, 7 from the tight end position. You'll take it. If that's his down game, you're going to take that all day. But I'm not calling that a stud. Brandon Ayuk, in a game where the Niners put up 42 points. Brandon Ayuk, 4 receptions, 58 points. So, definitely a down week for Greg. Somehow gets the win. You know, Greg's defensive game plans are out of this world in fantasy. I've never seen somebody win when his opponent doesn't score any points, or when he doesn't score any points. Greg will always somehow make sure his game plan is to play defense and somehow gets these wins that are ugly. But he does it all the time, so maybe there's something there. Moving on to Roach's team, same thing. I guess Gabe Davis should be in consideration for a stud. I know it's hard to pick a stud when you only have 58 fantasy points as a team, but you know he's taking up 35-40% of that right there. So if you had a better week, Gabe Davis would have been a great addition. 6 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown in the losing effort against the Jaguars. So 19 fantasy points, literally your lone bright spot. Duds all over the place. Najee Harris, just not startable. Welcome to fantasy purgatory, Najee. James Cook had -4 rushing yards on the day on 5 attempts. It was just not great here for Roach's team. Daniel Jones, not fantasy purgatory, droppable. I mean, I can't believe he's on fantasy rosters at this point. But again, for the bright spot for Roach, didn't have Saquon Barkley, didn't have Amon-Ra St. Brown, didn't have Keenan Allen, didn't have Tyler Lockett or Geno Smith. So literally, I see 5 starters on his bench. So this 58 points is going to be a low spot for his season and much better days ahead. I mean, he's starting guys like Khalif Raymond, Antonio Gibson, and Alan Lazard. So we're not expecting a lot from those guys. So I see moving forward, better days ahead for Chris. Chris is going to move to 1-4 on the season, while Greg somehow moves to 3-2 on the season. Yikes. Congratulations, ? On the win. But either way, you got it. Nice. All right, our final matchup was going to be in the hunt. Elliot taking on Unleash the Beast, Alicia. Elliot takes the win 107-79. Let's take a look at Elliot's team. Always in consideration for stud of the week is Tyreek Hill, 28 fantasy points. But his official stud is going to be George Pickens, 6-130 and a touchdown, giving the Steelers a huge win against the Ravens in that divisional matchup. So I know Elliot is loving the George Pickens play. He actually looked really good. Didn't do too much in the first half of that game, but Kenny Pickett was looking his way, which is a great thing to do for young quarterbacks. If you can't make any other reads in your offense, why don't you just go ahead and sling it to your number one wide receiver multiple times, and that's what he did. And George Pickens only needs a couple plays to get it done. So 23 fantasy points on the day. As far as your dud goes, Cortland Sutton shut down by Sauce Gardner, man. One reception for 13 yards. Was getting it done in weeks past, whether it's garbage time or not. Russell Wilson was looking Cortland Sutton's way, but nonetheless can't get it done against those New York football Jets. Moving on to Alicia's team. As far as her stud, it's going to be Travis Kelce, who was banged up. People were fearing the worst. He went down on a non-contact injury. You know, Twitter was going nuts. People updating non-contact, didn't look good. Kelce's body language is saying that it's, you know, a season ender, this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, did anybody look at the replay? I mean, it was pretty clear to me. I think I even texted Josh and Taylor. I'm like, yeah, Kelce went down, but I said, I think it's an ankle. I don't even know if it's a high ankle. And sure enough, they taped him up, probably gave him a shot, and he came back in and scores a touchdown. So fantasy managers can breathe a sigh of relief, including myself, have him in a keeper dynasty type league, him and Mahomes. So that would have really, really hurt my chances in that league. And I know for Alicia, she's really banking on Travis Kelce to bring her to the promised land here. So 17 fantasy points, 10 receptions, 67 yards, and a touchdown for Kelce. As far as her dud goes, Hunter Henry. So tough situation for her this week. A couple guys on bye, but she had to start Hunter Henry in her double flex position. And Hunter Henry gives her a goose. Patriots offense is just crumbling right now. You know, adding Bill O'Brien didn't help. I can't tell if it's a Belichick issue, a Bill O'Brien issue, a Mac Jones issue. A lot of injuries on the Patriots, but it all comes down on offense to they just don't have playmakers. All these guys, again, they catch the ball, get tackled immediately, if they can even catch the ball. They're not separators. None of them are elite at speed. They are the anti-Miami Dolphins, and it shows. So we'll see moving forward. I have Hunter Henry in a couple leagues as well, so I'm with you. And he's my starting tight end in those leagues. So I think Alicia can figure out a way to maybe get him out of her lineup, or maybe not. Who knows? I'm sure it doesn't get worse than 0 points, right? So Alicia with 79 points moves to 1-4 on the season, firmly in the Build-A-Bear Bowl with Jason and I. I'll be doing more and more updates on that as that progresses. We're getting closer and closer now to really seeing the lay of the land of the league. You know, who's in it to win it as far as playoffs go, championship contenders, and of course the Build-A-Bear Bowl. I think we have three legit candidates for the Build-A-Bear Bowl right now. And, you know, it's going to be myself, Jason, and Alicia. So that's going to be a battle worth watching. And you'll see a couple matchups of the week probably later on down the line that have to do with the Build-A-Bear Bowl, because that's just as important as winning the championship. So either way, in the hunt, Elliott moves to a solid 4-1 on the season. Knew he'd be a top team. And right now, him, Taylor, Josh, and Maddie are atop of the league. Not to spoil anything, but they are looking real good in their divisions. And we're done. That's the end of the week 5 matchups. We look forward to week 6. Man, that's weird to say. It's just flying by. I know I say that every week. But can't wait for next week's episode. Thank you for all for tuning in, and we'll see you on the other side.